there is this monthly meeting, it's actually scheduled for today, that is typically as bureaucratic as it sounds, the Governor's Commission on Medicaid Care Management. But last month, things were different at this meeting. A group of mothers were there to testify with their children in tow. Heather Donnell, the first to speak, ditched her written testimony at the last minute.
And then we had a traumatic day yesterday that I feel needs to be expressed.
Danelle's son, Lucas Bebo, is 5 years old. He's got Down syndrome and ADHD. He eats through a tube in his stomach and breathes through a tube in his neck. And the day before this meeting, Lucas grabbed that breathing tube and he pulled it out. Danelle called 911, and soon Lucas was on a helicopter to Mass General.
Where he had no parent, no guardian, no family. Where the ENT doctors forced a trach into his airway 3 times, and I walk into my son having blood all over his shirt and coughing it out.
Now, taxpayers, through Medicaid, paid for all of this. 3 ER visits, an ambulance, a helicopter, and pending surgery. What's not included in that list is probably the most important, though. A nurse in Lucas's house to prevent these type of traumatic hospitalizations in the first place. Medicaid has approved Lucas for 80 hours of in-home nursing each week. But because the state hasn't raised rates for those nurses since 2006, no nurse will take the job. It just doesn't pay enough. Deputy Health Commissioner Marilee Nyhan says a solution will not come without the legislature.
This is going to take an additional infusion of dollars. This has been years of flat to declining rate resources for the Medicaid providers, and we're starting to see the effects of that.
Without nurses right in the home, families are struggling to avoid worst-case scenarios, like sending their kids to an institution.
What are you doing? You're trying to help. Well, it's not helping.
Audrey Gerken lives in Brentwood, and her 14-year-old daughter, Lexi, is approved for 60 hours of nursing each week. The Gerkens have had 13 nurses in 2 years, some left because of injuries, some for higher-paying jobs, others for incompetence. Lexi has a genetic disorder and epilepsy. She has a feeding tube because she can't swallow. And taking care of Lexi is complicated, as her father Rob explains. 15 meds total. It can be dizzying to keep track.
Creams. We'll begin mixing the most difficult medication. This is her Nexium.
Water. Yeah, she has a water schedule.
Something the nurses had kind of taught us in the past is venting her stomach of any air. And that, so that top port that goes through a longer tube that goes through the stomach and goes into the top of her lower intestine. So when we do feeding,
for Lexi, a simple cold can lead to a month-long infection. Once, during a routine test at a hospital, she contracted MRSA. Managing all this care requires the skills of an ICU nurse and a social worker, says Audrey.
It's just a constant stream of phone calls and emails throughout the day to keep up with her care so that she can remain healthy.
Audrey has quit 2 careers to care for Lexi. That's in addition to raising 2 younger daughters. The youngest, Shayla, practices piano while we talk. Audrey says she's reaching a breaking point. The only immediate relief the state can offer is to send Lexi to live at Cedar Crest Center for Children with Disabilities in Keene. That will cost taxpayers more money than a nurse in the home.
We're legally supposed to be receiving services, and we're not right now, and that infuriates me. Every day I struggle with the depression. By fighting and advocating for the nursing services that we're approved for, that makes me feel a bit more empowered instead of just giving up and letting go and having her move out of the house, which is not ultimately what I want.
At the meeting last month, Gina Baucus gave a presentation. She's the CEO of the Home Care Association of New Hampshire, the trade association and lobbying group that represents the companies that hire in-home nurses. Baucus says paying these nurses a competitive wage would mean hiking Medicaid rates 50%, from about $40 per hour to $60.
Without meaningful increases to reimbursement, access to care for vulnerable patients will continue to be compromised. There's just no doubt about it.
Raising those reimbursement rates would require the legislature's approval, and that's always been a tough sell in New Hampshire. There is a bill in committee in the Senate that would create a study commission on pediatric nursing. In the meantime, Marilee Nyhan says the health department is looking at other options, including tweaking rules to allow LNAs to do more and paying parents directly for caring for their kids.
We're working with these families very intensely every day to make sure that their children stay in the home. It is much easier to work in the existing environment than it is to take an institutionalized person and transition them out.
Despite the department's efforts to help, problems with institutionalized care still bedevil New Hampshire. Just last year, regulators shut down a troubled institution for people with disabilities. And the year before that, the state settled a class action lawsuit over the forced institutionalization of people with mental illness. In fact, in recent history, it's often taken a crisis before lawmakers act on these issues. The last time the state raised rates for in-home nurses was 10 years ago, when children were stuck in hospitals because families couldn't find nurses to work at home. For NHPR, I'm Jack Rotolico.